Thank you for listening to a Sword of the Lord audio production. What you are about to hear is an original Voice of Revival radio broadcast from December 6, 1981. Dr. John R. Rice introduced the world to the Voice of Revival radio broadcast in 1959, and it continued through the early 80s with Dr. Curtis Hudson. Today's announcer is Mr. Don Holmes, and the speaker is Dr. Hudson with a message entitled, The Essentials of Soul Winning.
The Voice of Revival. From Murfreesboro, Tennessee, the Sword of the Lord and Dr. Curtis Hudson bring you the Voice of Revival. This program seeks to present to you the gospel of Jesus Christ in music and message. I'm Don Holmes, inviting you to listen for the next half hour. And thank you for joining us again on the Voice of Revival today. It seems impossible to believe that we're actually beginning the month of December again. I have to stop and ask myself, where has this year gone? In the next few weeks, most of you will experience that one-time-a-year sensation called the Christmas rush. A time which is purposed to be a joyful season will become a snarling pressure as you try to get everything done before going to relatives for the holidays. Many times when we finally get to relatives, we're so worn out that we can think of little more than just relaxing, and yet that's the time we ought to be the most alert as Christians. Most of us will see unsaved relatives for the first and last time of 1981. The temptation of overlooking this important time to witness is very present, but we must not. That's why the first two messages of this month will be dedicated to this subject as Dr. Curtis Hudson speaks on The Essentials of Soul Winning. If you care anything about helping your unsaved relatives at this Christmas season, stay tuned to this broadcast today. And at the end of the program, I'll tell you how you may receive a book just for listening to the program today. That's the Southside Baptist Church Choir of Greenville, South Carolina, and the song's entitled The Wonder of It All. And now we turn to the itinerary of Dr. Curtis Hudson. Today, Dr. Hudson is with the Liberty Baptist Church, Ephrata, Pennsylvania. The pastor is Reverend Doug Withers. December 13th, Dr. Hudson will be with the Franklin Road Baptist Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The pastor is Dr. Bob Kelly. Then December 19th through 20th, Dr. Hudson will be with the Florida Bible Church, Hollywood, Florida, where the pastor is Reverend James O. Sheffield. For more information regarding the itinerary of Dr. Hudson, you may write or call the Sword of the Lord, Box 1099, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, 37130. The telephone number is area code 615-893-6700. And now let's listen to more music on today's program. This is Mr. Doyle Robertson, the song entitled, Lord, Send Me Anywhere.
My life, Lord, to Thee. Now have your Bibles ready, as today Dr. Hudson comes with the first in a two-part series on the essentials of soul winning.
Today I'm speaking on the subject, essentials in soul winning. Soul winning is every Christian's job. John 15:16, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Ladies and gentlemen, the fruit of a Christian is other Christians. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." In Romans chapter 1, Paul said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles." Every Christian is to be a soul winner. Soul winning is not a gift. Soul winning is a command. You may read the gifts of the Spirit in Romans chapter 12 or in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But soul winning is not listed as a gift. Soul winning is not an option. It is an obligation. Soul winning is not a request. It is a responsibility. Soul winning is not a choice. It is a command. The only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to a clear command of Scripture. God Almighty has one way to evangelize the world, and that is through Christians. The Great Commission is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then we're to baptize them. After we baptize them through the local church, then we are to teach them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded us. And he commanded us to go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And yet, while I'm speaking to you today, we have an unfinished task. If every born-again believer in the world went out and led someone else to Christ tomorrow, there would still be 2 billion unsaved people in the world. I heard a great and famous pastor say less than a year ago that he doubted that 5% of the members of his church had ever led a soul to Christ. I pastored a great church for 21 years, and we had an average of 95 conversions or additions every week. But I honestly do not believe that 5% of the membership of that church had ever led a soul to Christ. Oh, they were good Christians. They attended faithfully. They paid their tithes. They would even help work around the building, cutting the grass and painting the buildings, but never won a soul to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that means that 5% of Christians throughout the world probably have led a soul to Christ, or maybe less. And if that is true, then that means 95% of all Christians everywhere are living in disobedience to a clear command of Scripture. Henry W. Longfellow, when in his youth, wrote his father, quote, "I am not sure as yet for what my talents fit me best, but I'm determined to be eminent in something." To what extent that determination affected his life, I do not know, but I'm sure it did. Daniel Webster was once asked, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And he replied, "A lawyer." Someone said, "The field is overrun already." And Daniel Webster said, "There's plenty of room at the top." He had an ambition. Worldly people have ambitions in many directions. Some men live to hold public office. Every decision they make is made with one thing in mind: how will this get me closer to the ultimate goal that I've set for myself in life? I'll first be state senator, and then I'll be the governor. And then I'll go for the United States Senate, and later I'll go for the presidency. Worldly people have ambitions. Athletes have ambitions. Songwriters and musicians, singers, have ambitions. Then, is it wrong for Christians to have ambitions? Every Christian should have an ambition to lead souls to Jesus Christ. The reason we have not evangelized the world is we've been dallying at the task. When I was a boy, I remember vividly my father assigning us a certain amount of work to do one day. We got busy playing. Some boys in the neighborhood came over and we started a ball game. We forgot about the task. Later that evening, my father came home. And we had not finished the assigned task. My father wept. And he said, "Boys, I thought I could trust you. I love you. I didn't ask you to do too much. You could have finished that task and had some time for play." But he said, "No, you've neglected it altogether while you've played. You've dallied at your task." I'm afraid that God Almighty looks out of heaven and sees the Christians in this world not going after sinners. And I'm afraid that God weeps and says, "You're dallying at the task." If it's all right for worldly people to have ambitions, isn't it right for a Christian to have ambitions? Paul had an ambition. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul had an ambition to win people to Christ. When he went to Rome, he said, "That I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles." He had a burning desire to see men saved. Oh, as Christians, we'll get the burden for their neighbors, for their friends, for their loved ones. We could evangelize the world. The grand old Dr. Sharp of Charles Street Baptist Church in Boston said, "I would rather have one young man come to my grave and affirm, 'The man who sleeps there led me to Christ,' than to have the most magnificent tombstone that ever marked a grave of mortal remains." Now, ladies and gentlemen, if we are to win souls to Christ, there are some essentials. First, we must get God's concept of the soul's worth. In Mark 8:36 and 37, Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul?" One soul is worth more than all this world. You may take all the money from all the banks of all the world and put it in one huge pile, and one soul is worth more than all of it. You may take all the gold from all the deposits and all the safe deposit box and all the mines and stack it in one huge mountain, and the soul of one little child is worth more than all that gold put together. You can take all the real estate and all the jewelry and all the silver and put it in one big pile, and one soul, ladies and gentlemen, is worth more than all that put together. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Some time ago I read where our United States government spent $40 million. Did you hear me? $40 million in search of one lost Air Force pilot. Now, I'm not against that. And I'm sure that pilot's family thought that he was worth $40 million. And my boy, if he was lost and I could find him and had $40 million to spend, I would spend it and spend it gladly and never regret it. But don't you think that if we could spend $40 million in search of one lost Air Force pilot, that we should spend 10,000 times more in search of lost souls? Oh, the value of a soul. We could do much more in evangelizing this world. We could give more to the mission society. Every believer listening to my voice today should get a good supply of gospel tracts and pass them out wherever you go. Sow this country down with the gospel. Jesus promised that His word would not return unto Him void. Every day here at the Sword of the Lord office, We receive scores of letters from people across America and around the world who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior after reading a sermon on the Sword of the Lord, our sword literature. Just this morning, my secretary said the first five letters I opened today were from people who wrote to say they were trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, we must get God's concept of the soul's worth. Our value system is wrong. I'm not against ones having money. I'm not against having nice automobiles and beautiful homes. But I am against living for things. The Bible says, the world and the things that are therein shall be burned up. Cadillacs are going to go up in smoke. Real estate's going up in smoke. Money and buildings and palaces are going up in smoke. Everything is going to burn. But ladies and gentlemen, souls that have been won to Christ do not burn. They last forever and ever and ever. John 5:38-39, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the grave should hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Souls live on forever and ever and ever and ever. When you've forgotten how much money you had in the bank, when you have forgotten what kind of automobile you drove, when you've forgotten the color of your new carpet and the size of your new home, you will still have the souls in heaven that you've won to Christ. Listen, friends. The only thing you're going to take to heaven with you is the souls you win to Jesus Christ. I had rather lay up my treasures on the other side and have souls in heaven to meet me and say, if it had not been for you, I would not have been here, than to have $10 trillion in the bank tomorrow. Oh, if we could only get God's concept of the soul's worth. And that's an absolute essential if we're going to win people to Christ. Second, we must consecrate ourselves to soul winning. You're not going to do it accidentally. If you can take it or leave it, you will leave it. You must live to win souls to Christ. You must watch for every opportunity. When reading the paper, you may see the story of someone who had a tragic accident in their family. It would be wise to write a sweet letter and enclose a gospel tract, or a booklet on heaven, or some other sweet booklet that would encourage and help and comfort the family. There are people everywhere who can be won to Christ. They're waiting. I was on the elevator with a friend not long ago, and he dropped a track on purpose. The elevator stopped at another floor, and others entered. It stopped at another floor, and others entered. After a while, the elevator was filled. And my friend reached down and picked up the gospel tract and began reading it. Four things you must understand to go to heaven. First, you are a sinner. And he read the verses. He finished the tract, and of course everybody on the elevator could hear him. He turned to one man, a total stranger, and said, "Do you know anything about this?" The man stuttered and said, "Well, I'm a Christian." And my friend said, "Well, suppose you tell the rest of us how we can become Christians." The man was very hesitant, stuttered a bit, but he attempted to show us or tell us how to become Christians and witness to everybody on the elevator. Listen, there are so many ways to win souls to Christ. We should consecrate ourselves to soul winning. Live for it. Make it the main business of our lives. If a man is not saved, nothing else really matters. It doesn't matter whether he's healthy or not. Of course I want him to be healthy. But if he's not saved, nothing else really matters. Being saved is the most important thing in the world. We should consecrate ourselves to this business. Make it the main business of our life. I've had some say, "Well, I'm not against soul winning." I don't think that's the proper attitude. It's not enough not to be against soul winning. We must be for it. I have said over and over to churches all across America, everything else is a means to an end. Sunday school is a means to an end.
The bus ministry is a means to an end. The singing is a means to an end. Bible study is a means to an end. But the end is to reach people for Christ, to evangelize the world. Ladies and gentlemen, our marching orders are go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Jesus knew when he gave the commission that it would require all of our talents and all of our energies and all of our time, because he closed by saying, even to the end of the world. Soul winning cannot stop with this generation or the next one or the next one. We must keep winning souls even to the end of the world. That means today, this afternoon, tomorrow, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, next week, next month, next year. Win souls even to the end of the world. Well, I'll continue this message on next week's broadcast. Goodbye, and God bless you until this same time next week.
Pray you have been blessed by the message you've just heard. The Sword of the Lord has many helpful materials available for purchase. For a free catalog, please call 1-800-251-4100. Or you may reach us on the web at swordofthelord.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.